At Link Humans, we've spoken to countless HR leaders from around the world, all trying to measure employer brand. The Employer Brand Index is used by GE and Unilever on a quarterly basis to uncover and measure their reputation as an employer, with a final score they can track over time to see how things are changing. We look at what candidates, employees, and alumni say about your organization in an employment context. If you're looking to research your employer reputation, or if you're developing an EVP, this would be the perfect time to create your Employer Brand Index baseline. You'll get a full report of insights and recommendations that you can use to improve your employer brand over time. Head over to employerbrandindex.co and start measuring.
Hey, sans Vason, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, where we do employer branding driven by data. This week, we're speaking to a veteran in our industry who will be sharing a lot of tips, a couple of pitfalls as well from his years of running big scale employer brand programs. So let's start the show. Hey, Johnny, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Jorgen.
So tell our listeners who you are and what you do and what brings you on the podcast today.
Sure. I am Johnny Torrance Nesbitt, an American. Recently returned after almost 4 years in the Gulf area on home leave. I spent the last almost 4 years building an exciting employer brand program for a leading golf firm in the GCC. Between much needed R&R, I have some interesting developing confidential projects I'm currently working on, but happy to tell you a little bit about what I did and how I got started. And my employer branding background goes back to Monsanto, Jorgen, which is now part of Bayer. And then before that, I started out as a staffing leader with Lockheed Martin, where I learned the critical business importance of filling positions in a timely manner. And then I moved on to a .com in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was called Unix.com. I experienced the excitement of building a staffing and department and filling global positions in London and Singapore. And I moved on to Monsanto in St. Louis, the middle part of the American landscape. I was given the opportunity to add a new core competency of employer recruitment and recruitment marketing and college recruiting. They also asked me to take on employer branding, which was a new concept in 2002, 2003. That led me on to being globally and U.S. recognized, winning several employer brand awards and talent acquisition awards at Monsanto. And that led me to getting a call consultant in Dubai in summer of 2015, which led to a experience in the Gulf in November of 2015, building out an employer brand program. Happy to tell you all about that and how it went and how a successful employer brand program raised their profile in the GCC.
So you came more from a talent acquisition recruiting background and you encountered this newish concept at the time, employer brand. What was your reaction to that and like how did you come to embrace it?
I've always been at heart a marketing person, which I believe most recruiters as well as you are as well. You're always about marketing. Even in the talent acquisition role, you ought to be about marketing. So the opportunity presented itself, of course, my .com was running out of funding, and I was really looking around for something that could utilize my recruiting strength, but also take me in more of a marketing direction. There was some research at the time done by Richard Moseley. I'm sure you know Richard Moseley, as well as the godfather of employer branding. Simon yeah. Barrow, of course. I did a lot of reading and I did a lot of prepping, and I found out about a position at Monsanto Bayer in employment marketing. And I spoke to the managers there, went down for an interview, did an all-day interview, and they introduced the concept of employer branding, which was quite new. I was fortunate that my vice president was a leading-edge marketing-focused HR individual as well. He embraced the employer branding concept early on, and he said, you know what, Johnny, you've got experience leading recruiters, building out global staffing functions. Take on this new employer branding role and see what you can do with it. And Jorgen, I tell you, the best decision I made was taking him up on that, and it's led me into a whole new career, and I love it.
Talk us through your program that you've been running for the last 4 years, I believe.
Yeah, sure. So in late 2015, I was offered a global employer brand role in the Gulf, Saudi Electricity, as you mentioned, a great opportunity to build out their employer brand function, their EVP, with a leading firm, but also they were one of the first firms, as I'm sure you know, Jorgen, in the Middle East to understand and recognize the importance of employer branding. They needed somebody to really come in. They had had McKinsey in, the big consulting, global consulting company, doing some HR business partner work, but McKinsey never touched the employer brand fully. Somebody reached out for me from Dubai, and I had some conversations and was very interested. Plus, I also wanted to work overseas. My undergraduate degree is in anthropology, and I studied different cultures. I was very interested in working in a different country, and I've also lived in the UK as well. I've loved that experience, and I really wanted to work overseas to expand my global employer brand jurisdiction, my expertise. So I joined them in late November of 2015 and put together an employer brand strategy that led to developing and getting them positioned as an employer of choice to reinforce their strength in domestic market to Saudis, to build awareness in the international markets among the target audiences. Now, they go after a lot of American, Canadian, and Western European expats. And they also wanted the employer brand to look inward to educate the staff, internal staff, about what great value their company is. And one of the things I really enjoyed about employer branding was telling people, other people, about the company I work for. And I love that marketing role. So I put together a 5-year employer brand timeline. I developed a EVP and tested the EVP, pulled together focus groups to hash out the EVP. And I chose the McKinsey model of the EVP structure, which is based on pillars of great company, great leaders, great job, and balanced compensation. So I developed an EVP, and I also tweaked the EVP for target segments. You have to, Jorgen, as you know, not only have a overall EVP, but you have to tweak it for different target segments. Obviously, Saudi Electricity, engineers and technicians are a primary focus of their hiring activity, so I tweaked it for that. I also tweaked the EVP for non-engineering professionals, i.e. finance and HR people, for managers and leaders, and also for women, which is a growing market of talent pool in Saudi Arabia. So from that, I created an employer brand ambassador program. But one of the biggest things I encouraged and really took on board was building a solid relationship with the internal corporate branding, corporate marketing department. That's one of the big things that I want to, just at the end of our conversation, focus on the listeners about their need to build a strong relationship with corporate branding. So I built that relationship with corporate branding. I also redesigned the website, created collateral materials, roll up brochures. And one of the interesting things too is an electronic EVP. How many times do people need to see physically the EVP? So I developed an electronic EVP, which went on the flat screens in the different buildings around the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And some of the ROIs, I can chat about that in a second, but it was a full-blown employer brand program, and I'm not finished yet. There's more work to be done there on this, and I'm just on home leave right now.
I'm dying to know what the EVP was. Was there a strap line, and was there specific pillars that you were beaming out on these TV screens?
Exactly. So EVP focused on the great company aspect. We had pillars of why Saudi Electricity was a great company. One of the taglines was, they power the kingdom that powers the world. One of the other pillars of the great company group, if you will, top company in the kingdom, largest power utility in Middle East, social responsibly, power and light in every home, and a kingdom leader in total quality. So great company was one of the pillars. The other was great leaders. Saudi Electricity has a great tradition of developing leaders that disseminate out through the kingdom to work for other companies. But you also have to cover great jobs. If you can't explain the great work and a great job and the passion that the internal people have for doing their job, you can't have an effective EVP. So some of the things there we focused on, great jobs, the part of a prestigious, established, fast-growing company, very attractive development, career path opportunities. The teams were challenging to do inspiring projects and power and energy. They also received individualized, tailored training and development programs to become experts in their chosen field. So great jobs was the third pillar. The last pillar of the EVP was balanced compensation. So you have to address your comp and benefits, as you know. What will the hires get out of joining your company? So we focused on the peer group of the electrical utility companies in the Gulf region, And we also talked about the attractive benefits. They had a lot of mobility. They had housing, financing opportunities, a great medical program. So all of those four pillars, great company, great leaders, great job, and balanced compensation, that was the company-wide EVP, and I tweaked it here and there for different target segments.
So how do you go about activating the EVP?
The internal side, we also, one of the things I should mention too, is that we also got sponsorship for an internal employer brand HR portal. On this side of the firewall, internally, I created an HR portal page that explained the EVP. So the great success was more internally, but we also got some recognition from some media companies in the Gulf about being one of the first companies to embrace in the Middle East the concept of employer branding. We had great success, though, externally as well. In fact, Jorgen, some of the KPIs, we increased LinkedIn followers by 20%. We also drove 15,000 new profiles in the ATS system. We also were able to measure and increase the attractiveness in Glassdoor of would you recommend Saudi Electricity to a friend? We got a high 70% on that. Lastly, we also looked at the average time to fill. Jorgen, if you have an effective employer brand program, that will help the recruiters cut down on the time to hire. So one of the programs that I did, we were able to decrease the time to fill from 71 days down to 33 days. That's a huge savings for the recruiters. You are educating the workforce and the potential candidate pool about the company, less research time is spent by them researching your company, all that's known when they go into the candidate pipeline.
And did you do any upskilling for recruiters or HR people to equip them with the EVP as well?
That's a great point. And I want to mention that out as the last thing when I talk about tips to people in your listening audience. One of the things that we also did was to do briefing sessions for senior leaders, EVPs, SVPs, vice presidents. So I put together a PowerPoint slide deck and went about with my Saudi colleagues to the various EVPs in the different divisions of the company to talk about what employer branding was, to get their buy-in. They loved it. They loved the promotion of Saudi Electricity and the concept of expanding out the attractiveness of Saudi Electricity. You can't build a program without educating the executive wing, the C-suite, and the CEO office. One of the things also that we did was to activate it through the college recruiting cycles as well. In fact, captured by Universum, Saudi Electricity was in the top 30 of engineering and IT companies preferred by students as well. So we also activated it locally at colleges in Saudi Arabia with the roll-up screens that I created and talking about why new recruits ought to join a company like Saudi Electricity.
You were both attracting expats, so Europeans, North Americans, and so on, as well as people from within Saudi Arabia. Now, did you have slightly different messaging for them, or was it, how did it look?
So we focused more on the job classifications, engineering, non-engineering, finance, HR, that as opposed to geographical, there was no separate EVP for Canada, no separate EVP for Germany, but we looked at the overall EVP and tweaked it by the professional categories. We felt that an overarching EVP tweaked by profession was a preferred way to go. But I have worked at Monsanto where we tweaked the EVP by specific regions, Asia Pacific, Latin America. So I've done that work as well. But most recently, we tweaked it by professional job classifications, if you will.
Before I ask you of your top three tips to our listeners, I want to know what your biggest pitfall to avoid. What can we learn from your mistakes?
So the biggest pitfall is around resources. Both times at Monsanto Bayer and at Saudi Electricity, I've come into a resource-tight environment. Now, that's both a curse and an opportunity. It's an opportunity because if you don't have the wherewithal to engage expensive European, American advertising and employer branding firms, then you've got to look internally, which is why I mentioned building a strong rapport with internal media relations, corporate marketing, corporate branding. Some of that, if you don't have the budget, you can work with those disparate units in your company to develop the employer brand program. So a pitfall or something to watch out for is going into establishing an employer brand program is to ask the question of your company that's hiring you, what are the resources? What's the budget for a five-year program? Because you can't look at employer branding as a short-term fix. If you do, it's going to fail. As I mentioned, I put together a five-year timeline, but I did engage in Saudi Arabia with some of the top three global concerns around employer branding. But we looked at the price tag, and with the falling price in oil, the fluctuating price in oil, we didn't have the budget to support a $1.3 million effort or a $600,000 American effort. So they said, Johnny, you've done this before, do it yourself. And that was wonderful for me because I grew and developed a program in consultation with corporate branding that developed my skills further and saved the company money.
Fantastic. Let's hear your top tips to other employer brand professionals who would like to emulate this success.
Sure, exactly. And thank you for this opportunity to be on a podcast. I also respect the work that you've done there, and I look forward to using some of your insights and some of your tools and mechanisms that you present. So number one tip would be cover your employer brand and EVP during the new hire orientation session the first week. I used to go down into orientation and talk about the EVP, but that needs to be more formalized. Number two, conduct an employer brand program for EVPs, vice presidents, and your HRGs as well. You want to make sure that, and also the recruiters, you want to make sure that the people doing the recruiting and doing the HR work understand employer branding and know what it is. You also want to conduct a session with the CEO, get their buy-in, and the C-level executive suite. That's number three. You also can work with the internal employee resource groups to really expand out the reach of your employer brand program. Number five, this is an important one. Build a day-to-day working relationship with corporate branding and corporate marketing departments, as I did. You'll find, Jorgen, a lot of opportunities to co-brand with them on your employer brand efforts. Number six, learn the tools and techniques and language of branding, corporate branding, such as brand architecture, brand identity, brand experience, brand extension, brand image. All of these concepts can be scoped out and expanded to include employer branding. And don't be afraid to, number seven, to do it yourself if you lack the resources. You'll find building a homegrown employer brand program is both satisfying, developing, and fulfilling, but more importantly, fun.
Okay, great. So let's inform our listeners on where they can find you online. I know you're very prolific on social and you like to do a lot of writing and so on.
Right. So I write for Recruiter Daily. I also am on a panel for the Recruitment Buzz out of the UK, Wales. You'll find me on LinkedIn and you'll find me on Twitter as well.
That's been fantastic, Johnny. Thank you so much for your time today.
Good, super. And I hope that was helpful. And thank you for your help.
Okay, there we go. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to reach out to Johnny on Twitter, LinkedIn, or other places and say thank you ever so much. And of course, if you want to subscribe to this podcast, check out employerbrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find lots of links. Now, if you really want to help us out to get in front of more people like yourself, then I would be most obliged if you were to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, because that's the place where people do their searches for podcasts, I've been told. Also, if you are interested in getting some proof, some data, some evidence instilled into your employer branding work, then why not check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our approach to measuring a company's reputation as an employer. So looking from the eyes of the candidate, employees, and alumni. And of course, we can then throw in competitors in there so we can see trajectories of your company as well as a number of competitors over time to see who's doing well, who's not doing so well, and what you may want to improve along the journey. So check that out at employerbrandindex.co. And that was it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey-do.
If you play a country western song backward, you will get your dog back, your house back, and your wife back. So just play the record in reverse and everything will come out okay.